वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for kindly joining in this morning. It's my honor and privilege to continue the discussion. Today we have a very important topic to discuss. I will speak about that in a bit. I have been thinking of a series to probably start, since we will be meeting every alternate Monday. Starting next class, we will be starting with the Shikshashtakam, and we will be going with every verse of Shikshashtakam. And my attempt would be to cover maybe one verse a class, and if that's not possible, maybe it'll spill over to another class. So we'll start off with Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, going up to Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam. So that will be the topic for the classes starting next sitting. But for today, I was thinking of a topic, something that we can start implementing right from today. The importance or the significance, the essential position of the limb of bhakti, represented by offering obeisances to Krishna. We find that oftentimes this is the most underrated implementation of Krishna consciousness. At least when I introspect, I feel that when we were becoming devotees, we were offering more obeisances to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas. But then as we get more familiar with the process, the full obeisances becomes half obeisances. Half obeisances sometimes is just folding of the palm. And sometimes due to over-familiarity, I have seen that if we happen to visit a temple too often, the obeisances are also just as a formality. I have seen that I bow down in front of the deities and even the mantras are not properly chanted. And it's very quick. It's almost like a formality, something that I have to do. The heart is not there. The mind is not there. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's dear disciple, Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj from the Gaudiya Math, used to say that if while offering obeisances, if we are not meditating on Krishna in a prayerful mood, then all that we are doing is gymnastics. Bowing down and getting up, it's almost like doing Surya Namaskar. It's like doing some exercise. So I thought today we will speak a little bit on the importance of offering obeisances, because these are things which are very simple and hence most of the times neglected or belittled, forgotten even. And again, when I say all this, it's just on personal introspection. When I see myself, I feel that I should be offering more obeisances in a healthy young body than what I'm actually doing at this point. So with your permission, with all of your permission, I would like to speak on this topic today. We can see a few verses which immediately come to the mind when we think of the act of offering obeisances to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about it twice. Manmana bhava mad bhaktau madhyaji mam namaskuru. Namaha kuru. He says, offer obeisances. Bow down. And it's interesting how Krishna puts it. Manmana bhava mad bhaktau madhyaji mam namaskuru. Four things have been mentioned. And we can see that there is a proper link in these four things that Krishna is talking about. First, Krishna says, give your mind to me. Then the question could be, who can give their mind to Krishna? Only the Ragatmika Bhaktas can give their mind to Krishna, right? Like Mother Yashoda or Sridham, Subal, or Lalita and Vishakha. Only they can give their mind to Krishna. The Nitya Parikars, the eternal associates, can give their mind to Krishna 100%. Their mind never gets distracted. So Krishna says, give your mind to me like them. Then we can tell Krishna, well, I'm not a Ragatmika Bhakta. I'm not an eternal associate. So how do I give my mind to you like the way the associates in Goloka Vrindavan do? Then Krishna says, okay, then you become my devotee. Here, devotee refers to Raga Nuga Bhakta. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Sri Krishna has given four instructions and he has given it twice. We can find in the 9th chapter and in the 18th chapter. Sri Krishna mentions, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Mad Yaji, worship me. So first thing that Krishna says is give your mind to me. But giving our mind to Krishna means not just 1 minute a day. Krishna wants it 24 hours because he brooks no competition. That's Krishna's nature. He brooks no competitor. He brooks no competition. Krishna wants to be the exclusive object of our love. So Krishna says, you give your mind to me 100%. Like the Ragatmika Bhaktas of the spiritual world. Srila Rupa Goswami has given two terms in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One is Ragatmika Bhakti and one is Raganuga Bhakti. Oftentimes they are confused and even replaced. Ragatmika, Raga means attachment to Krishna, and Atmika, completely colored by that love. Bhakti, that devotion which is completely imbued with spontaneous, uninterrupted, unconditional spiritual attachment, transcendental attachment, is Ragatmika Bhakti. The love that Mother Yashoda and the eternal associates have in the spiritual world, that's called Ragatmika Bhakti. And when jivas in this world follow that mood, that is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raga Anuga. Anu means after and ga means gamanam, to walk. So to walk behind their mood is called Raga Anuga Bhakti. So Krishna is saying, give your mind to me like the eternal associates, Ragatmika Bhaktas. And when we say, well, we cannot do that, Krishna. And Krishna says, Mad Bhakta. Then become a devotee. What kind of devotee? Perform Raganuga Bhakti. Prema rasa niryas korite aswadan, ragmarg bhakti loke korite pracharan. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to distribute spontaneous love in this world, which is called Raganuga Bhakti. Rag Bhakti. So Krishna is saying, if you can't give your mind to me like the eternal associates do, then at least follow their mood. And be a Raganuga Bhakta. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying. Then when we say, well, we can't even do that, Krishna says, Madhyaji, at least perform Vaidhi Bhakti. If you can be a Ragatmika Bhakta, become a Raganuga Bhakta. If you can be that, then at least follow Vaidhi Bhakti. Madhyaji, which means worship me with cleanliness and punctuality. Worship the deity form of mine. Chant the holy name. And follow the rules and regulations according to Pancharatrik Vidhi. Then when we say, well, it's difficult for us to even do that. We are filled with so many responsibilities, grihastha responsibilities in the material world, in Kali Yuga, with anarthas, with offensive mentality, can't even be regular in our worship. Then Krishna says, Namaskuru. You can't do anything, just offer obeisances to me. You know, just bow down. Krishna, but my mind is not bowing down. At least your body should bow down, Krishna says. And that's the last word that Krishna says. So he puts a hierarchical compromise that if you can give your mind like the Ragatmika Bhaktas, follow their mood and become a Raganuga Bhakta. If you can do that, then worship me through Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. If that is not possible, at least Namaskuru, at least offer obeisances to me. And Mame Vaishyasi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyoshime. I promise you, Arjuna, if you offer obeisances to me, I will accept you. So we see straight in the Yaswayam Padmanavasya Mukha Padma Vinisrita. Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya has said that Ganga comes from the lotus of the Lord's feet. You see, everything about the Supreme Lord is lotus. Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angriye. His eyes are lotus. His navel is lotus. His palms are lotus. His feet is lotus. His mouth is also lotus. His face is also lotus. So Adi Shankaracharya says, Ganga comes from the lotus of the Lord's feet. Which lotus? Lotus feet. As Vamandev. When Vamandev breaks and ruptures the material shell, Ganga flows in this world through the Lord's lotus feet. And Gita comes from the lotus mouth. And in Kali Yuga, when Mahaprabhu's, now this Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya has not said, but this Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his purport to Chaitanya Bhagavat has said, as an example of Utpreksha Alankar, which means giving a very wonderful connection between pastimes. Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Ganga comes from the Lord's lotus feet, Gita comes from the Lord's lotus mouth, and tears of ecstasy in Kali Yuga comes from the Lord's lotus eyes. That Ganga who came from the Lord's feet is now coming from the Lord's eyes in Mahaprabhu's Leela. So in that Gita, which it's fascinating, Srila Guru Maharaj explains that Ganga and Gita come from the Lord's lotus body. Ganga comes from the feet, lotus feet, and Gita comes from the lotus mouth. So Srila Guru Maharaj explains that if you jump and take dip in the Ganga, Ganga comes from the feet. And if you bathe in the Ganga, Ganga will take you back to the lotus feet. And Gita, similarly, if you bathe in the waters of the Gita, Gita comes from the lotus mouth. And if you bathe in that, it will take you to the lotus face of Krishna. So in that Gita, Krishna has said twice, minimum. Maybe acharyas can decipher even more places where Krishna speaks about it. But at least two times where Krishna says that one should offer obeisances. And if you offer obeisances, mame vaishasi yuktva evam atmana matvarayana, Krishna says that I will accept you. And that is in the Bhagavad Gita. Now in the Bhagavatam, we see the last verse, 12th canto, 13th chapter, text 23. The last verse of the last chapter of the last canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanastam Namami Harimparam. That I bow down to that Hari whose holy name when chanted, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Krishnasya Harehe Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, all the sins are destroyed. And Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas. And if you offer obeisances to him, suffering will reduce in life. Dukkha shamana. Very interesting. Dukkha shamana. Everybody has dukkha in their life. So if we, ye yatham mam prapadhyante, right? So if we bow down before Krishna, dukkha bows down in front of us, which means it reduces in height. If we are supposed to suffer so much, we bow down to Krishna, then dukkha also bows down and he also reduces in size. So by chanting Krishna's names and bowing down before him, these are the last two instructions of all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very interesting. And how do we remember that? It's very simple. Nama and pranama. These are the two code words. Nama and pranama. Nama means chanting the holy name. Pranama means offering obeisances. Through the mind, through the words, we should chant the holy name. And through actions, we should offer obeisances. So therefore, we see that in the pastimes of Gajendra, in the prayers of Gajendra, very specifically called as the Gajendra Stuti, found in Canto 8, Chapter 3, Text 2 to 29, we see that Gajendra's prayers are a standout. Why? Because throughout, in every prayer that Gajendra offers, he's calling out the names and offering obeisances. Namaha Shantaya Ghoraya Mudaya Gunadharmine Nirvisheshaya Samyaya Namajnana Ghanaya Cha Kshetrajnaya Namastubhyam. Throughout you will see Madrik Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolayaya Swamshena Sarvatanu Bhrit Manasi Pratita Pratyak Drushe Bhagavate Brhate Namaste Atmatma Japta Griha Vitta Janeshu Saktair Dushprapanaya Gunasanga Vivarjitaya. And on and on and on. 28 prayers by Gajendra. And you can see throughout the Chaturthi Vibhakti has been used. Unto him, Krishnaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Keshavaya Namaha. Like that, he says, Shantaya Namaha, Ghoraya Namaha, Mudhaya Namaha. And what does Namaha mean? Namaha means to offer ourselves. Krishnaya Tubhyam Namaha, to offer obeisances. So he calls out the different names of the Lord and offers obeisances to him. This is what Gajendra does. Melpattur Narayana Bhattadri, one very famous scholar, devotional scholar from South India, from Kerala. He has written a magnum opus grantha called as the Narayaniyam. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal Sanskrit text. Anybody who has had a chance to look at it, you will agree to the nectar that pours out. In different chandas he has composed. Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. The whole 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam have been condensed in 1,000 verses by Melpattur Narayana Bhattadri. And there he writes that Gajendra, in the pastime of Gajendra, Gajendra picked up the lotus from the pond and offered it to Mahavishnu. Melpattur Narayana Bhattadri writes, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. These are the four things that Mahavishnu holds. He holds a chakra. He holds a shankha, a conch. So he holds a disc. He holds a conch. He holds a mace, gada. And he holds a padma. So Melpattur Narayana Bhattadri is asking this question. All the remaining three except the lotus are used in a war. Fighting. You can use a mace, a club for fighting. You can use a disc for fighting. You can use a conch shell to start and end a war. But where is this lotus coming from? So he writes that Mahavishnu did not have this lotus before. You know, he's writing his devotional purport. He said when Gajendra picked it up and offered it as a symbol of devotion, Mahavishnu promised him for eternal life, as long as I'm existing, which is forever, because the Supreme Lord is ever existing, I will hold this lotus in my hand, telling all the devotees in all of my creations that I hold the others because I have to protect my devotees. And I hold this to show that my devotee is already protected. I have protected him already. This lotus is the symbol of his offering of love. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmanah. Srila Chakravarti Pad also writes that the word bhakti has been repeated twice in two lines. Yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparitam. This is not repetition. This is not atishayokti or over exaggeration. It is how much the Supreme Lord loves devotion and his devotees. So Gajendra, because in his prayers he was constantly offering obeisances and calling out to the names of the Lord, that lotus has been held since time immemorial by Mahavishnu to show that any devotee stuck in any situation, if he offers obeisances, calling out to my names and offers me flowers, I will keep that flower for all times to come. Kumana sumana stvamhi yati yasya padabjayoho sumana arpana matrena tam chaitanyam prabhum bhaje. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said that just by offering one flower to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu gets purchased. It's very interesting. He says, ideally we should offer sumanas. Sumanas means purified mind. But if we cannot offer purified mind, offer sumanas, which in Sanskrit also means a flower. So he says, if you can't offer sumanas, purified mind to Mahaprabhu, at least offer a lotus, a flower, which also means sumanas in Sanskrit. Sumana arpana matrena, just by offering a flower, Mahaprabhu gets purchased. And Gajendra's pastime is a classic example for that. So why Gajendra is a standout? Because he's offering obeisances and calling out to the names of the Lord, as the last verse of the Bhagavatam recommends. So if we offer obeisances through the body and chant the holy name, Krishna becomes very pleased. We can find classic example of that even in the pastimes of Krishna. We see that when Krishna showed the universe in his mouth after eating some Brajraj, dust of Vrindavan. In the 8th canto, in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, we can see from text 32 onwards. Ekada krida manaste ramadhya gopadaraka krishno mridam bhakshitavan iti matre nyavedayan. They went and told Krishna's mother, Mother Yashoda, that Krishna has eaten dirt today. So in that pastime, we see Mother Yashoda goes and chastises Krishna. Kasman mridam madantatman bhavan bhakshitavan rahaha. Vadanti tavaka yete kumarapi agrajopyayam. Children are saying, oh Krishna, that you have eaten dirt. Even your older brother Balaram is saying that you have eaten dirt. So Krishna, with confidence, he told his mother, you know, there was brajraj in his mouth. So he was buying some time, and Mother Yashoda was saying that, have you eaten? Why have you eaten? Kasman mridam adantatman. Adantatman. Oh, independent Lord. Adantatman. Uncontrolled person. Bhavan bhakshitavan. You have eaten dirt. And everybody is saying that. So as Krishna was listening to that, he was buying some time and trying to gulp all that mud into his mouth. So he was not speaking anything. As soon as Mother Yashoda finished, Krishna also finished gulping. And he was confident there's no more mud in the mouth. So now he told his mother, Naham bhaktitavan amba sarve mithya abhisamshinaha yadi satya girastarhi samaksham pashyame mukham. Samaksham pashyame mukham. Why don't you look into my mouth yourself? And Krishna is a very positive person, very optimistic. He will never start a verse with nakar. You know, he will never start with a na rama. He will never start a verse with na. He will never do that. He always is very affirmative, very optimistic. But here he says, na aham bhakshitavan amba. Oh, mother, I have not eaten. So it's literally, you can envision Krishna telling Mother Yashoda, no, my mother, no, I have not. Because there's so much negation from Krishna's side, Shukdeva Goswami starts it off by saying, na aham bhakshitavan amba. Otherwise, he could have put it in some other way. Aham na bhakshitavan amba, or something like that. But he says, na aham bhakshitavan, na aham bhakshitavan. And Krishna never starts generally. Another place where in the Bhagavatam Krishna starts a verse with na is na paraye aham niravadhya samyujam swa sadhu krityam vibhudhayushapiva, where he tells Srimati Radharani and the gopis, I cannot reciprocate. I will not be able to repay you. So no, I will not be able to repay you. So there he starts his verse again with na paraye aham. O Radharani, na, I cannot repay you. So in this case, when Mother Yashoda, that's very interesting. Then he challenges his mother. You know, if you want to really see who has a truthful tongue, yadi satya gira. Gira means tongue. If you really want to know who has truthful speech, why don't you look into my mouth yourself? Why don't you look into my mouth? So then Mother Yashoda into Krishna's mouth. Krishna thought, you know, generally when you're confronted about something and you say, well, why don't you come and see it yourself? The person will say, no, I trust you. Because if with so much confidence you're saying, which means, you know, I trust you. But for the Supreme Lord, this plan backfired. He told his mother, why don't you look into the mouth? Mother said, oh, very good idea. Let me look into your mouth. And one commentator on the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, he writes that Krishna wanted to show Mother Yashoda the power of Brajraj. The power of Brajraj. That if you take little dust of Vrindavan and throw it into the mouth of a baby, and then when you open the mouth, you can see universes inside. This is the power of the dust of Braj. So that is why Krishna depicted this pastime. Another commentator writes, in fact, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, he says that Krishna performs all his pastimes only to show Mother Yashoda how strong he is. To show Mother Yashoda the power of his lips, he sucked the life air of Putana. To show Mother Yashoda the power of his feet, he kicked the cart. He kicked the Shakatasura demon. To show Mother Yashoda the power of his elbows, he strangulated Trinavarta and killed him. To show Mother Yashoda the power of his digestion, he put some Brajraj into his mouth and showed universes. You know, so generally our body is such that you throw in a fruit and it breaks down and gives nutrition to the body. But for Krishna, his digestion is such that you can throw some Brajraj into his mouth and it becomes universal. So Krishna is performing pastimes only to show Mother Yashoda the power of his body. So in that context, we see that Mother Yashoda gets completely bewildered looking at universes in her child's mouth. She was thinking that, I thought my child has only swallowed few particles of dust, but seems like he has swallowed the whole creation. He is more naughty and more notorious than I think he is. And at that point, when Mother Yashoda is completely, flummoxed and completely confused and bewildered, it is described by Srila Prabhupada in a very beautiful purport that Mother Yashoda offered obeisances to Narayana for the protection of Krishna. And as soon as she offered obeisances, Krishna closed his mouth and smiled. Srila Prabhupada writes, Mother Yashoda teaches us, whenever we are bewildered in life, whenever we are confused by circumstances that are beyond our comprehension, we should simply offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord. And he will take all the bewilderment away, like he did in the life of Mother Yashoda. So through the pastime of Mrida Bhakshan Leela, eating dirt, we can still decipher a lesson for offering obeisances. That Mother Yashoda offered obeisances, not to Krishna, but to Narayana. So Krishna was smiling that my mother's love is so sweet and innocent that she's offering obeisances to my partial expansion and praying to him for my protection. So Mother Yashoda offered obeisances and Krishna smiled and all the bewilderment was taken away. So we can learn that whenever we are confused in life, we should learn to offer obeisances. We find even in Kulashekhara's Mukundamala Stotra, King Kulashekhara has spoken about offering obeisances. He says, Yat Krishna Pranipata Dhuli Dhavalam Tadvarshma Tadvai Shiras Tenetre Tamaso Jite Suruchire Yabhyam Hari Drishyate Sabuddhir Vimalendu Shankha Dhavala Ya Madhava Dhyayini Sajivham Rita Varshini Pratipadam Yastauti Narayana. Very, very beautiful composition. King Kulashekhara has said that which eyes are first class? What are the definition of those? What are the description of those eyes which are first class? Te netre tamaso jite su ruchire yabhyam hari drishyate. He says those eyes which give up the passionate graphic vision of this world, the images of this world, and those eyes which are just drinking the beautiful form of Krishna's beautiful lotus body, lotus face, lotus eyes, lotus hands. Akshanvatam phalam idam naparam vidama sakhya pashun anuviveshayator vayasyai vaktram vrajesha sutayor anavenu jushtam yairva nipitam anurakta katakshamoksham. In the Venu Geet, the gopis have also said this, that those eyes which become pots to drink the nectar of Krishna's form, they are first class. So King Kulashekhara has said those eyes which glance on Krishna are first class. Sa buddhi vimalendu shankha dhavala ya madhava dhyayini. That buddhi which remembers Sri Hari is first class. And that tongue, sa jivha amrita varshini pratipadam ya stauti narayanam. That tongue which does the stuti of Narayana, chants the holy name of Narayana, is actually a cloud pouring nectar at every step. So how is obeisances connected here? He has said four lines. And I translated the second, third and fourth. But I still haven't done the first one. I kept the best for at the end. King Kulashekhara says, those eyes which glance on Krishna are first class. Though that mind which thinks of Krishna is first class. And that tongue which chants the holy name is first class. But what about the first class head? Yad Krishna pranipata dhuli dhavalam tadvarshma tadvai shiras. Shiras. Shiraha. He says, that head which bows down repeatedly to the lotus feet of Krishna and has become ashened or white because of the dust of the floor. Now, of course, we have floor and wooden flooring and concrete flooring and marble usage now. But during King Kulashekhara's time, it's just ground filled with dust and mud. So he has said, by offering obeisances to Sri Hari, that forehead which has become ashened by the dust of the floor, that head is first class. Which means those eyes which glance at Krishna are first class. That mind which thinks of Krishna is first class. That tongue which chants the holy name and describes Krishna is first class. And that head, that forehead, which repeatedly offers obeisances is first class. So King Kulashekhara has also said, offering obeisances to Krishna makes the head first class. Mukunda Murdana Pranipatya Yache Bhavantam Ekantam Yantam Artham Avismritistva Charanar Vinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. King Kulashekhara again in the Mukundamala Stotra, he says, Murdana with one's head, Tritiya, by the head, with one's head, pranipatya yache. I offer my head to you, my Lord. I am offering myself and I surrender through obeisances and I beg that lifetime after lifetime, let me remember you. This is all that I am praying. He martya paramam hitam shrunutayvo vakshami sankshepatah samsara arnavam apadurmi bahulam samyak pravishyasthita nana jnanam apasya chetasi namo narayanayityamum mantram sa pranavam pranam sahitam pravarthayadvam muhuh. In another verse, King Kulashekara has described, He martya, O dying mortal men of this world, paramam hitam shrunuta. Please listen, I have something important to say. And it is not just important. Paramam hitam, this is the supreme well-being instruction that I want to give you. So then the question asked is to King Kulashekara, are you going to give a long class? Are you going to bore us like Amarendra does for an hour? Is that what you're going to do? He says, no, vakshami sankshepatah. No, I will keep it very short. I will not bore like him. I will give you in a nutshell, a capsule. Vakshami, I will speak sankshepatah very quickly. Okay, go ahead, King Kulashekara. In one line, he gives the problem statement and in two lines, he gives the solution. What is the problem? He says, samsar aranavam apad urmi bahulam samyak pravishyasthita. O living being, you went to surf in the waters of this material world. And the sad reality is you have built a house in the middle of that ocean. You have got stuck into the ocean of this repeated birth and death. And now you're not able to come out. King Kulashekara says, as the rescue operator, as the lifesaver, as the God, I am giving you some instructions. Do three things. First, nana jnanam apasya. Give up all of your knowledge, all of your opinion, all of your viewpoints. I know this, I think like this, I opine, I feel. Give up all of that and listen to me, he's saying. Nana jnanam apasya. Point number one. Point number two, namo narayana. Om namo narayanaya. Because he's a Sri Vaishnava Acharya. So he says, om namo narayanaya. Mantra should be chanted constantly. Nana jnanam apasya chetasi. Namo narayanayityamum mantram sa pranavam. Pranavam. With Omkar you chant in the heart. So for us, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the second instruction. First instruction, give up all your ideas. Second instruction, constantly chant the holy name. And the third instruction, pranama sahitam, offer obeisances with your body. King Kulashekara is also, you could say, nailing that same point again, drilling that same point again and again. That chant the holy name through the tongue and offer obeisances through the body. And don't think that you know a lot. He's saying, give up your ideas, be humble, and take advice from senior Vaishnavas. In another place, again, King Kulashekara in the Mukundamala Stotra, he says, Jivhe kirtaya keshavam muraripum. Cheto bhaja Sridharam Pani Dvandva Samarchaya Chutakatha Shrotra Dvayam Tvam Shrunu Krishnam Lokaya Lochana Dvayahare Gachangri Yugmalayam Jigra Grana Mukunda Pada Tulasim Murdhanna Madhokshajam. Jivve Kirtaya Keshavam. Through your tongue, chant the names of Keshava. Murarippum Cheto Bhaja. Worship Murari through your heart. Shridharam Pani Dvandva Samarshaya. With both your hands, worship Shridhara. So different names of Krishna have been used. And Achyuta Katha Shrotra Dvayam Tvam Shrunu. And with your two ears, hear the Katha of Achyuta. Krishnam Lokaya Lochana Dvaya. With your two eyes, glance at Krishna. Harehe Gacha Angri Yugmalayam. And with your two feet, go to the temple of Hari. Jigra Grana Mukunda Pada Tulasim. With your nostrils, smell the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of Mukunda. With all the senses, he has given instruction. He says, with the tongue, chant the names of Keshava. With the mind and the heart, worship Murari. With the two hands, worship Sridhara. With the two ears, hear the Katha of Achyuta. With the two eyes, glance at Krishna. With the two feet, walk to the temple of Hari or do parikrama, circumambulate the temple of Hari. Jigra Grana Mukunda Pada Tulasim. Through your nostrils, smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaf offered to the lotus feet of Mukunda, and Murdhan Nama Adokshajam, and finally offer your head in obeisances to Adokshaja Sri Krishna. So beautiful is the act of offering obeisances. In fact, in Tulsi Ramayan, the Ramayan written by Goswami Tulsidas, when Vibhishan comes and offers obeisances to Lord Ramachandra, Tulsidas ji writes, Jo sampatti shivarav nahi din diye das maat, so hi sampada Vibhishan ko sab kuch din Raghunath. That treasure of Lanka, which Ravana got from Lord Shiva. Ravana got Lanka through Lord Shiva. And how did he get it? Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. By chanting the names of Lord Shiva, he was cutting and offering his heads in sacrifice. So Ravana has 10 heads. He was offering all his heads. Very ghastly form of torture, I would say. He's almost blackmailing Lord Shiva, you know, through fear. And so, not first-class worship, but he was cutting his heads. Das Mat, which means he was offering his 10 heads and chanting the names of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared before Ravana and said, what do you want? Why are you torturing yourself and me? As a benediction, he gave him Lanka. But Goswamiji writes, so hi sampada Vibhishan ko sab kuch din Raghunath. But Lord Ramachandra gave that same Lanka, which Shiva gave to Ravana at the end of offering 10 heads. That same Lanka, Ramachandra gave Vibhishan at the end of offering one obeisance. Vibhishan offered one obeisance at the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra, and Ramachandra announced Vibhishan to be the next king of Lanka. So what the demigods can give by offering, when the devotees offer 10 heads, that the Supreme Lord gives, and much more, just at the end of one obeisances to his lotus feet. Sakrid eva prapanno yastavasmiti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vratam mama. When Vibhishan offers obeisances to Sri Ram, Ramchandra pronounces this very famous verse from Valmiki Ramayana, that anyone who offers obeisances to me and surrenders unto me, I will make them fearless lifetime after lifetime. Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vratam mama. Aham dadami. I will give. I will make them fearless. So we can see this. We see in the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami the importance of offering obeisances. He would offer 3,000 obeisances every day. 1,000 obeisances to Thakurji, to Krishna, Radharani, Mahaprabhu, and 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas and different tirthas of Braj. So he would offer obeisances. He would call out the different tirthas and the different different pastime places. We can see in the very, very beautiful section of Stavavali that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has written. He has written a section called as the Vraja Vilastava, where he is offering obeisances to different pastime places in Vraj. And he's calling out their names and offering obeisances. So Raghunath Das Goswami would do that. He would remember different deities in Vrindavan and offer obeisances to them. And after all the deities are done, then the different pastime places, after that is done, all the Vaishnavas also, Mahaprabhur Bhaktagana, wherever Mahaprabhu's associates are there, he would remember, call their names one after another and offer obeisances. So much so that Srinivasa Acharya says, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nativihi Kalavasani Kritav, that they would do three things with a specific count every day, Sankhya Purvaka. And what were the three things that they would do? Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibihi. They would chant the holy name, Japa, with proper count, 64 rounds every day and more than 1 lakh holy names. Some two, some even 3 lakh holy names. And second, Gana. They would have Ashtakams to sing every day. Stuti, Stavapat, Stotra. Every day to sing a few verses, to sing a few songs. Some nice songs describing Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Radha Krishna, and the Vaishnavas, Gurujan, and some verses. Raghunath Das Goswami would chant the verses of Rupa Goswami that he has written, and Sanatan Goswami. So the verses of the Acharyas, the songs of the Acharyas, that is Gana. So Sankhya Purvaka means with count. Sankhya means count. Nama means chanting the holy name. Gana means songs. And Nati Bihi means to offer obeisances. So by these three considerations, they would, with count, they would offer obeisances. To chant the holy name, to sing specific number of songs every day, and to offer obeisances. In fact, even the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see when Akrura, he comes to Vrindavan. I believe this is Canto 10, chapter 38 or 39, when Akrura is entering. So there is a very beautiful verse where Akrura says, Mama adya amangalam nashtam. Falavan chaiva me bhava yan namasye bhagavato yogi dhyanangri pankajam. That mama adya amangalam nashtam. Today, Akrura is saying, all my inauspiciousness in my life has been destroyed today. Why? Namasye bhagavato. Because I have offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Yogi dhyayangri pankajam. That Lord whose lotus feet is the object of meditation in the minds of the yogis. Because I have got a chance to offer obeisances to that Supreme Lord today, all my inauspiciousness has been taken away and I feel completely purified. Who is saying this? Akrura is saying this. This is Akrura's realization. Even Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains that the offering of obeisances should be like a pole, like a rod, dandavat. He describes this in Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we should offer obeisances with all parts of our body. In Hari Bhakti Vilas also, Srila Sanatan Goswami has described, Dorbhyam padbhyam cha janubhyam urasa shirasa drisha manasa vachasa cheti pranamo ashtanga iritaha. That obeisances are considered to be ashtanga or sashtanga. Eight limbs are connected. Dorbhyam, we should offer obeisances with both our arms. Padbhyam, with our feet. Janubhyam, with both our knees. Urasa, with our chest. Shirasa, with our forehead. Drisha, with our eyes looking at the deity. Manasa, with mind being in that moment. My Lord, I am not able to surrender to you, but at least at this moment, I am all yours. With all my faculties, with all my skills, with all my ability, with all my activities through thought, word, and deed, my Lord, at this moment, at this minute, I surrender to you. So Dorbhyam, with arms, Padbhyam, with the feet touching the ground, Janubhyam, with the knees touching the ground, Urasa, with the chest, Shirasa, with the forehead, Drisha, with the glance, Manasa, with the mind, Vachasa, with words, by offering pranam mantras while offering obeisances. Cha iti, in this way, pranamo ashtanga iritaha. Pranamo ashtanga iritaha. This pranam is called ashtanga or sashtanga dandavat pranam. Even in the seventh canto Bhagavatam, fifth chapter, when Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmani vedanam. Iti pumsarpita Vishnu bhakti chennavalakshanami, etc. When Prahlad Maharaj is describing the nine limbs of bhakti, there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada defines, Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances with prayers, Prabhupada writes. So in this way, we can see it's all already time up. So much more can be said, but I will pause here. I will pause the discussion here. If there are any reflections, if there are any questions or comments, or anything in regard to this discussion, I would be very, very happy to hear from all of you. If I have made any mistakes, any siddhantic flaws, any scriptural deviation, please kindly forgive me. The essence of this discussion through all the different references that we were mentioning is that it is very important for all of us to offer obeisances every single day. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at night before going off to sleep. As much as we can. As we get old, we will develop problem with our lower back and knees and arthritis, and it's difficult, varicose veins. Once you bow down, it's difficult to get up. And once we are up, it's difficult to bow down. But now when we are young and healthy, why should there be any daridrata? Why should there be any miserly behavior as far as offering obeisances is concerned? So we will pause here. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I offer my obeisances to all of you at the end of the discussion. Thank you for being here.